Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And for the next 10 days, the second 2 hours will be dominated by local election debates. Just to let you know that we also start our European election debates. That's coming up online exclusively after 12. We're in the company of Liam Blaney, Padraig McGarvey, Maria Doherty, Declan Meehan, Vincent Bradley, Kathleen Deeney, and Eamon Jackson. And, you know, the one thing and the theme I want throughout the course of these debates is that if someone's making an accusation or a claim, particularly about another individual, that it is very much evidence-based. So, Vincent, you know, and this could be quite damaging to somebody's campaign, Vincent Bradley is an independent. You stated that Declan Meehan, and he strongly rejects this, was trying to get refugees into this housing estate. So what is your evidence that Declan Meehan is responsible for that?
As DLDC... helping Ukrainians to get housing through the NGOs.
I'm on the board of DLDC.
Well, who do you work for in Milford?
I work for Milford and District Resource Centre.
Who are they?
They are a community organisation and a social enterprise that works with everyone in the community.
Yeah. So,
what's the accusation, Vincent? Spit it out.
Well, you were in Lothairn Heights back last year saying that there's Ukrainians were moving into the place.
No, I was saying that they weren't moving into the place when people were saying that they were. You don't have your story straight. You're talking nonsense.
The people of Lothairn Heights don't think that there's nonsense.
Lothairn Heights has 17 houses there that are currently vacant and empty. The person who told them that Ukrainians were moving in was associates of yours, people who spend too much time online going down rabbit holes about
the rabbit hole. You ignored all the contacts from the people of.
I was in contact with plenty of people.
So, Vincent, other than what you've been told, do you have any evidence that Declan was campaigning to have Ukrainians moved into this area?
Well, that's what I was being told. Yeah.
Okay. Do you still believe it to be the case? Do you still believe it, even though he's literally explained well?
I just don't understand what my vested interest would be there. I mean, I literally was online doing videos, trying to campaign on Highland Radio as well, talking about it, that we were trying to get the houses over the line for social housing, that an approved housing body was lined up to purchase them from the contractor, and that is what I was trying to assist in making happen, so that the housing was made available for people on the housing waiting list. I have never moved anyone into any house. I don't know what power you think I have, Vincent, but you're extremely misguided and you spend too much time online.
DLDC, who funds... What is the private company that funds the Ukrainians and IPAS centres? What is the tax that your company funds it?
I don't know the answer to that question.
This is the answer we don't know.
Do you know?
DLDC
I'm trying to find it out.
To clarify, DLDC has no responsibility in housing refugees anywhere. It works with everyone in the community on an integration basis. Mm. So it's pure lies and nonsense.
Padraig, do you want to have a say on this?
People deserve better, the truth.
And well, I suppose I have no experience from who was trying to get into Lothairn Heights, but I do believe that the council need to do the right thing here. They need to sit down with the property developer. I know from listening to your own show, Greg, you've had the property developer on here and he's made his case, but I do believe that the council needs to sit down with this property developer, get it over the line and get these people in the Milford electoral area housed in these 17 homes. On my canvas trail 2 weeks ago, I happened to meet somebody and I actually got into one of these houses and they are finished, ready to walk into. They're air to water, they're carpeted, they're bathrooms, all the needed furniture, and we see from our lists of housing stock there is absolutely no houses available in the Milford electoral area. There was 2 houses on our list last Tuesday at the meeting in Letterkenny available, and the need is there, and I think the council should go to the government agencies and seek funding what is needed to buy these houses.
Maria Doherty, you want us to come in on that?
Yeah. Just in terms, it's an absolute disgrace that you've 17 houses that as you say, turnkey or ready to move into and sitting vacant. As far as I'm aware, my information that I have, there's a dispute between the developer and the Department of Housing in terms of the can't agree a price. So I think, like in terms of a big intervention is needed, the minister needs to intervene. This is the type, you know, this comes back to that, you know, that government on policy. It's affecting us at local level. You know, why can't this be sorted out? There's 17 houses. We're at crisis point.
But there
county.
Is also, is there not a responsibility
but
from...
But are part of the crisis point. Like,
how are we going to the crisis, Frank Vincent?
There's open borders.
It's not have open
we,
borders.
We, there's Sinn Féin in there, 1998 manifesto.
Fact.
Use are open borders.
Not fact.
1998 manifesto.
Well, so we're going back 30 years.
Well, that's when you started.
30 years.
That's when you started.
30 years. I'm sitting here in 2024.
That's when you started.
Running for local election and we're not open borders.
Sinn Féin will achieve for the optimum position of no restrictions on immigration and Clare. This is what's fueling the housing crisis. Now we're talking now that there's 17 houses in Milford. Nobody, there's a dispute from the developer.
Yes, there's a dispute between the developer. I can just come in here just in terms of a little bit of context.
Yeah.
You are quoting a policy document from 30 years ago. So have you any concept of how the world has changed in 30 years?
Yous are still mass immigration. Yous are still, you can't get enough people into the country to fuel
nonsense.
The housing crisis.
This is the second time now. That's second
you are fueling the housing crisis. I'm not making up.
Okay, so
we want a fair and efficient and enforced immigration service.
Yous want to replace us.
We need
in 2019 and the last county council election you had candidates over in my house and I've asked them what does Sinn Féin stand for and they thought it was a trick question.
What candidate? 2019
yeah,
that was me.
Yeah.
That was
they're
me.
Representing
so.
you
what, and so 20, it wasn't the candidate, it was a representative.
Sorry, the representative, okay. So in 2019 the question was asked, what does Sinn Féin stand for? And they thought it was a trick question. I asked them again, they thought it was a trick question.
I think you're full of trick questions.
No.
Absolutely full of trick questions.
I had to tell them what Sinn Féin represented. Sinn Féin represented
Vincent.
The killing of children in this country. So how can we have a future?
I want to give Marie. Marie didn't actually get it.
Everybody's had enough of Sinn Féin.
Okay, Vincent, please. If you just, you've had your say. Now, Marie, I want you to finish your original point.
Yeah, my point is that as far as my information, and lots of people have been involved in it, including the councillors here, that there is a dispute in terms of the price from the developer.
Oh, that's the point I was going to make. To you, sorry, and then Vincent come in.
Yeah.
Is there not? There is a responsibility on the state, though,
on the Department of Housing to find a resolution,
and also that we don't overpay for houses as well.
Well, this
either.
Is it. Yeah, I mean, but there's always a way to find a resolution. You've 17 houses sitting empty for 2 years, 18
right? Okay,
months, two
Liam,
years
do you want to come in on
you
this?
Have to
and
find a solution.
By the way, too, I'm trying my hardest to give everyone a fair platform whilst we're ongoing. If you feel that I haven't come to you or something, please let me know because I want everyone to walk out of here feeling that they got their point. And I do want to hear from I do want to hear next from Kathleen, and I also, of course, want to hear from Eamon. But Liam, you're in the situ in the council as well. You know the background to this dispute. I mean, the bottom line is, and I think it is. The contractor responsible for this. If we don't get this sorted, these guys, and when I use that covering all genders, don't get me wrong, but these guys will spend their money and invest in other parts. If it's too complicated to get houses over the line in Donegal, they'll just go to Derry or Tyrone, whereby, you know, they can still get a return on their investment. And some say it's already like that these boys are looking elsewhere to build houses because it's a business for them. So we need to get it sorted, don't we? Because we can't lose that stream of development.
Well, we can't afford to lose anybody that's willing to build a house in the county, and especially in Milford electoral area. We can't afford to lose them. But at the beginning of this, and I was the only one, I suppose, that's around the table here that was involved in from the very beginning, and Parry's uncle was there, Ian, whenever it started as well, and he was supporting the whole thing all along as well. And the council put a call out for turnkey housing, and certain people came in and said they were interested in it and put in a price, a fixed price for the houses. And, you know, and I'm not standing up for either the council or the developer here, just giving a quick briefing on it. Then COVID came in after a certain amount of work had been done, and there was the building halted for whatever length of time, for most of a year, I would say, and then it was started again, and the council had got an engineer down there to make sure all the work was done to the standard that was required and that would be able to accommodate families in the house, and the whole thing was almost completed, and the developer wanted more funding, which naturally, during COVID, prices escalated. And there was a quantity surveyor got in there to survey it and see what extra that they felt was required on the extra work that was on that time. And that increase was offered to the developer, but he said he was getting a better offer from a housing body. But I believe that offer has long disappeared, as far as I'm told. And I would love to see it over the line. Mm. Milford needs it. A lot of other towns and the Milford area needs it. But that's the only one that we have this last long number of years that seemed to be coming on board. And unfortunately, for the people of Milford and for ourselves as councillors as well, that is not... There doesn't seem to be any agreement on the foreseeable future. And I think it's the people locally that's suffering worst because of it. And I do hope that a resolution can be found, but you can't just go around, as you said yourself, and throw money to people once they decide they want an increase on something. You can't just go around and throw them whatever they want. But unfortunately, there has been no agreement here, but I do hope that there will be agreement at some stage.
Declan, did you want to come...
Very shortly.
You wanted to come back on that, did you? Or was it...
Yeah, absolutely. I think that mostly people are in agreement around the table here. Everyone has agreed that it is a crying shame and a disgrace that there are 17 houses finished to the standard that they have been, sitting up at Lochfearn Heights that are empty, while there are over 110 families on the housing list in the Milford electoral area. 17 families, who were expecting to move into those houses are still in rented accommodation on housing assistance payment. We have to talk about the cost benefits here, right? The developer is looking for an increase in money. My understanding is that increase in money is something that the council are not willing to pay because of anti-competition directive from the Department of Housing. But also, listeners need to understand that no contracts were signed before COVID, and that was the way turnkey developments were done, and it was to allow either the council or the developer to change their needs.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's just the way it's done. Yeah.
Whereas, but sorry, Liam, hang on a second.
Sorry, I have the local people are going to get the houses.
Just 1 second,
excuse me.
You said that the local people are going to get the houses. How did you say if there was no contract?
So there was no contract signed.
You said there was.
There was an agreement, and now the turnkey process is changed.
Yeah, I mean, there is part of it is that it's an out for the council and it's an out for the developer. That, yeah. It is Liam. Just briefly coming, because then I want to bring Eamon and I also want to bring Kathleen in. Is something you wanted to clarify there?
Just as far as the no contact saying, there was years ago prior to this, whenever the contact was signed at the very beginning and there were stage payments made. Unfortunately, things didn't work out properly whenever that happened, and I give plenty of examples on the Milford area and in Milford town itself, where after 10 years, windows, doors, kitchens all had to be replaced in houses. So that wasn't working that way. It came then to a situation where they were advertised, and when you came forward and said you wanted to build the houses and you given a price, that was given your word for it.
Mm. It's like a memorandum of understanding, is it?
Thing has changed now since again, because that's not working either, and things has changed now since again, where you do sign a contact now when you're doing these turnkeys anymore. But you're not, the installments is not there.
Kathleen, I think if I were a listener, and I'm primarily a radio listener, I'd be at home going, right, well, this is part of the problem, isn't it? Because we need the houses. And is it the council's fault? Is it the developer's fault? Is it the system's fault? And at the end of the day, these houses are still sitting there. Kathleen, what would your view be on it? I mean, would you like to see, maybe a less complicated system to actually deliver these houses?
It certainly seems a very complicated system from what Liam and Declan are saying. But I feel that an open line of communication between the council and the developer, seems to be a bit fraught, really, in the sense that, like, if they're finished to that standard and, I know the cost of building and the cost of, services has, rose in price, but if the developer agreed a price to build a house, I mean, there shouldn't be any deviation either way, as far as I would be concerned, and that it just needs, like everything, it needs to be sorted out, and the houses need to be allocated to the people in need of them.
Okay, Eamon, now you've been waiting patiently. My apologies. I just want to let a flow go, but at the same time get to everyone.
Super. Yeah, well, with regards to Lochfearn Heights, I've been to the houses also. It's a terrible shame to think that there's 17 homes sitting there, fully turnkey, ready to go, 100 families waiting on the housing list. I can also argue there's probably 100 families locally that would have defective housing that would get themselves onto the scheme if that kind of housing was available to them also. I've also looked at Kylan Court in Remelton, where there are 11 homes at the back of Kylan Court that is partially built. They're an eyesore sitting there. The planning has happened for them. The reason why they stopped is because of defective blocks in the house itself. let's just knock them down, rebuild them. Because in the very next field at the back of Kyland Court, there's planning permission for 42 more homes. How can you build 42 more homes when there's 11 partially built homes just sitting there? That's crazy. But anyway, what I wanted to come back with, just with defective blocks, if I may, a point was made about IS465. Now, during the week, Director General of the Engineers Ireland, Damien Owens, stated that IS465 was not fit for purpose at an Oireachtas committee meeting. Mm-hmm. And he says that we can't wait around for IS465 to be reviewed, and in the interim, a statement would be timely, is his comment. Now, following on for that, Bob Jordan, the head of the housing agency, intimated that 20% of homes, when they were given the remedial option by the engineers, the option itself was reduced back to an option 2 or 5 from the option 1.
Just explain, option 1 briefly is?
Is demolition.
Option 2?
Is part remediation.
Option 5?
So option 2 to 5 are all part remediations.
Okay, go ahead, yep.
20% of homes were downgraded from demolition to part remediation. And he actually stated, taking the most conservative option should be the order of the day. Now, he is basing that conservative option on the present day IS465, which Engineers Ireland are telling him is not fit for purpose, which is a crazy scenario. And we're back to what looks like, if we were to use an anecdote, you're building a new home on bad foundations. Because how can you make a comment like that based on IS465, which is not a for review? And also, if we look at it through the council, there's 849 homes sitting in the scheme. 322 of those are lined up for option 2 to 5. This calls into question exactly what remediation option is happening for those 322 homes and whether those 322 homes should be full demolition. And certainly if I was one of those 322, I would be mildly worried, to say the least. And it should be something that all these people, if you do wish to go for demolition, should put themselves forward for the appeals process.
This feeds into the greater issue of a housing crisis, Maria. What do you think needs to be done? Because again, what the listener wants is sort of some sort of a clear plan or roadmap that actually starts to deliver, because our population is growing. Obviously we're housing over 10,000 refugees or IPAS, but also to, you know, people are moving home. I know some are leaving, but maybe they're living in parents' houses or what have you, and we might talk about that more specifically. People are remote working, they're moving back to Donegal. You know, there's a huge pressure on our housing. Do you think we need to sort of be dipping into the Airbnb-type holiday home stock, Maria, to meet some of these needs here? There's, 12,000-odd houses sitting empty most of the year?
Yeah, there's a lot of holiday homes.
I'm trying to get to sort of maybe interim solutions rather than talking about, you know, we need to develop social housing policy.
Yeah, and we do.
What do we do now?
Yeah, what do you do in the short term? Because it does take time to build, and you have to have massive investment in social and affordable housing. And our plans are, 21,000 per year. So in the short term, what you can do just in terms of the Airbnb, but I think another solution would be the vacant and derelict homes are under Sinn Féin's plans. At least 20% of those 21,000 per year would come back in under that scheme.
Sinn Féin wants to take private property off the people. They want to take it off and give it to the rest of the world. That's what you're saying.
I just said,
vacant houses. If a person has a house,
homes.
It's no difference to Sinn Féin or nobody else. If Sinn Féin, if you have a derelict house, or whatever.
Vincent, I think really,
I'm trying to finish my point, and then you can come back. It's coming back after people's property.
Yes,
but Vincent,
there's a government scheme there for you to get a grant.
This is about actually getting a grant to live in or rent your house.
It's getting stuck back into the system.
We don't have a housing crisis. We've got an immigration crisis.
We have a housing crisis. We'll come back
to that in a moment.
So that government scheme, in terms of you get get the grants, 50,000 and 70,000. I think that needs to be enhanced. I would love to see, like as a councillor, if I was elected, or local council, getting, you know, more powers and more funding so that they could lead out on that. That you, us as councillors could be part of that solution. Where, and every one of our villages, we know this, there's houses there you're thinking, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be great if somebody could live in it, in our towns, if somebody could live
but
in it.
So terms in the terms of short term. They can do whatever they want with them, they can leave them derelict or whatever. It's nothing to do with anything
else. But Vincent,
else.
Do you not stand outside people's houses where they are choosing to do something with them and say they shouldn't do that?
No, I'm not.
I'm sure I saw a video of
you
doing that. Did I not?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
That's fine.
No,
clarify that.
Yes, no, I thought I saw your video of that, but I don't know.
Just to finish one more point. Just
that's okay.
In terms of what
it's not an accusation. It's not an accusation. It's just an observation, because you're very into people should be able to do with what they want with their own property.
Well, isn't that right?
But then you sort of
say, the government seems to be deciding another agenda down the lane, softly.
Understood. Well, we'll get maybe to that if we get time.
And Sinn Féin, if they get
on. So Maria's talking about the derelict. I'm not speaking on your behalf, Maria. You know that, don't you? But it's the derelict property grant, which at the moment's 50-70. You can get the SAIA grant as well. And that's up for review in May. It may well be enhanced. Your party's calling for it to be enhanced.
It's calling for it to be enhanced. At this minute in time, all the burden is with the homeowner, you know, in terms of they have to upfront costs and then they get it back. Why not? Why not the council get involved, enhance the scheme, and you're taking a lot of stuff back in.
And this is no criticism of the council, right? But one of the great criticisms of the council is the administration of the MICA scheme. You trust the council to take over the administration of another housing scheme?
Well, I mean, see, in terms of all of our councils and all of our workers that are out there, they're doing the best that they can.
Okay.
But the problem is they don't have enough resources either. You know, for example, if that was to be rolled out, they would need more staff. You need more resources. So you can't, you know, if you're coming up with an idea, you got to back it up. And I suppose from our perspective, we back up everything
Parig,
that we say we're going to do.
You know, as I say, we've talked, I'm not taking that conversation off the table, right? But in terms of alleviating the housing issues at the moment in the short to medium term, do you have any proposals in that regard?
Greg, I think I have to agree with Maria there. The vacant property scheme is an excellent scheme, which has been rolled out by the current government. The uptake, as we can see from figures, they are increasing.
Well, Donegal is the highest uptake in the whole country.
Yeah, exactly. And that's down to the work of Patricia McIntyre and her team and Donegal County Council. They're very approachable. They want to roll out the scheme well. On my canvas as well, going round houses, a serious amount of empty houses, holiday houses. I think there should be a tax break or something for people to entice them to put their house up for rent and see people housed. Like, take for instance Rathmullen, a seaside village, rural, recently lost its post office. It needs people in the area to help the businesses, help everything to grow, to get the town off its knees, to, you know. And I think more people, like, there's people in Rathmullen that can't come home because they can't afford the rents.
So you have many towns around the county whereby effectively outside of the summer months there is no families there, there's no children there, there's a struggle to keep schools open and what have you. What would you actually do to try and encourage people to live there in the winter?
In the Milford area there's so many seaside villages, you know yourself, there's Downins, there's Port Salon, there's Rathmullen. Them villages are so quiet in the winter, but I know the locals do like the quietness, but it's not helping rural Ireland, you know. And
the
I
locals
think
do like the quietness. You know, all you hear in the summer is, I can't wait till everyone leaves. I don't know, it's strange.
But I do think the empty houses need to be looked at.
Okay.
I'm
going to come round the other way and then meet in the middle. Kathleen Deeney of Aintu. Do you have anything that you'd like to see in the short term to address the shortage in housing?
It's really a major problem in the area of Rathmullen, because tourism takes quite a lot of the bed and breakfast and that. I think maybe that more council houses be built, Greg, and you know, not as much red tape if they were finished, and to get into them. I think there should be a quicker turnover of, example, the one in Milford. There should be no delay from when they're finished to they're occupied.
Yeah, Eamon Jackson, do you have any short-term plans? I mean, you know, say, for instance, modular homing, houses was, for some reason, I don't understand it. This is not a criticism, but it's been employed right across the country, and yet arguably where there is the greatest demand for many different reasons in Donegal, the government took it off the table. Mm-hmm. But between modular housing, maybe trying to get some of that rental stock, you know, the short-term let stock or holiday homes into general use. Do you have any suggestions or feelings in that regard?
Yeah, certainly, as you mentioned, modular homes would be the immediate fix to housing problems that we're having in the area. You also mentioned the holiday homes, but if you remember, that was part of MAG's proposition to government at the time, that there was going to be a housing shortage. Where are people going to go? And we were looking for not tax breaks, but we were looking to offer these homes to be fixed under the scheme, but only if they gave their homes up for rental during that period, so that other families would be able to use that home. Now, I believe still that that's a very clever use of the holiday homes. And not only that, but the holiday homes would also get fixed in the meantime while people are utilising them. So, you know, two very, very good options there. Modular homes, as I say, being the immediate ones, and that's something we will certainly push for if we get into the council from the 100% Redress Party. And we need modular homes scattered.
Are we talking villages? You know, like villages of modular homes?
Exactly, yeah. Little communities of modular homes, certainly in Milford, Letterkenny, Buncrana, Carndonagh, and further afield where needed. But, you know, I think we need to have areas where these are all compartmented.
Because theoretically, people would move in and out whilst houses are being, in terms of those affected by...
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, people need to be close to their facilities. Mm. Children need to be close to their schools. You can't have people commuting from Buncrana to Milford to bring children to school. So, you know, I mean, there's areas like Elm Court and Remelton. There's a field right beside them in Elm Court. I know they've been looking for a pathway up to Elm Court, and certainly we'd be looking for that too. But okay, with the field right beside them, the field is between Elm Court and Remelton town itself, and that would be an ideal kind of an area to put up modular homes, so that people would not have to move far away from their existing home, and it would be of little disruption.
Vincent, what solution? I mean, obviously you've highlighted what you believe to be the problems, but just interested to hear you articulate what you believe maybe the short, medium-term solution to the housing crisis is.
Yeah, the first thing we have to do is stop this mass immigration coming in. Sorry. The first thing we have to do is stop this mass immigration coming into the country. This is fueling the whole problem.
But just
problems
in Donegal? Because,
well, that's part of it, because look how many Ukrainians and other IPAS people are coming into this county as well. So we're just fueling the fire. Then we're talking nonsense then about building modular homes. We're going back to the 70s and 80s. That's what they've done on small porta cabins for elderly people who's living their own. We're going back.
So where would you put those affected by defective concrete who can't get a rental property to move out?
Well, this is the government's problem again, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and the Greens, because they've left no accommodation.
But what would your solution be, though? Because obviously you're looking to be elected to go into the council, presumably to make a difference, or maybe you're a protest vote. You know, if that's the case, that's fine. I'm not judging you, but I mean, I'm on about what would your solutions be. So your first motion on housing. What is it?
First of all, we have to look at why there's so many people coming into the county. Okay? Maybe they shouldn't be coming into the county, and that'll free up more accommodation that is already there. And people that has rental accommodations, private rental accommodations and holiday homes, we can't, because of the government's failure and destruction of this country, start now to go in the back door and take their houses off them that they worked hard and built. So we can't be doing that because of the corrupt governments.
Yeah, Liam.
Just because they messed up, and you're Fianna Fáil government as well. So you have to, you're passing the buck all the time, round and round and round. That's all you are doing. Do your destruction.
More to the wider point, or if you want to address what Vincent said to you, it's up to you, Liam.
First of all, I'll go back to the derelict grant that was talked about there. And it was a 50,000 for a derelict house and 30,000 for a house that had been derelict for over two years.
It's 50 for over 2 years, and it's an additional 30 if it's derelict.
I know that it has changed to 70 and 50, and the islands get, I think, it's 82,000 or 83,000. Mm. But one problem with that grant is that the people have to put up all the money up front first, and they don't get anything back until the house is completed and ready to live in. And one of the things that we're fighting for is that it would be stage payments, made two or three stage payments, three hopefully, and some of them we're fighting for, and hopefully we will get on it. As far as the social houses is concerned, and the defective concrete blocks. It's my understanding that within the next 2 weeks that the councils will be receiving the scheme for the defective concrete blocks. And as part of the overall, a question I asked earlier on, I believe as part of the overall solution is to get them houses fixed and get the people back into them again, first of all.
Yeah, but in the interim, I mean, would you be in favour of modular houses, homes, for an example, that people could use for a period of time? You wouldn't live in them forever. You could move in and out of them as the need is there. Is that something you'd
there could be part of the solution to it, but I believe that they're only temporary, and that if we can get building social housing, and look, unfortunately, in the Milford area, there's three councillors in it. We are getting the least amount of houses built. We have none built this last 12 or 13 years, except for the turnkey that we're looking about. There's 10 planned in the next two or three years for Tammany. We've nothing else in the Milford area. And I believe part of that is because of underrepresentation by the Milford area, by the councillors, by one particular councillor. And myself and Porrick here has been working hard, and myself and Ian has been working hard before that. But when we're the smallest electoral area in the county, we need three representatives fighting all the time for it, and unfortunately we're not getting that. And then when it comes to...
Well, the third there you're referencing is John O'Donnell, I presume, who's at a council meeting today, is not with us. You're not really suggesting that none of these should get the seats. You're suggesting someone shouldn't. It's a bit
I'm
unusual.
I'm saying that I feel that we need the three councillors that's elected to the area to be fighting for the area.
Parry, is that your view?
Unfortunately, that's not the case as it stands.
Okay.
And I think we need that. And you know, I had that meeting to go to this morning. Parry had that meeting to go to this morning. But we were lucky enough that there was nothing specific to do with the Milford elected area.
Well, listen, can I just say I appreciate both of you making yourself available. Declan, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, look, I suppose on that and what Liam is saying, I completely agree. And I think that it is vitally important that in a small electoral area, we have three extremely good councillors going to County House for the area. And that's why we need change. Because as Liam has also said, it's been 12, 13 years since social housing has been delivered in the Milford electoral area. In that time, last year alone, house prices have gone up in this area, 13.2% last year. Over 20% rent has gone up. Like, we're seeing increases all the time, and social housing delivery is key to keeping prices down, both for rent and for the cost of housing itself. The other thing is that the housing assistance payment has not increased since 2016. So when you look at the increase in rents since 2016, it's outrageous compared to the housing assistance payment not moving. Mm. We know that there are hundreds of people on housing assistance payment waiting on social houses in the Milford electoral area who should be in social housing instead. And that's a cost to the taxpayer, and it is not a sufficient amount of support that those people are receiving. I have met countless people over the past number of weeks out canvassing who are in receipt of housing assistance payment but have to put €700 and €800 towards it in order to afford the houses that they're in. So we need, like, government policy absolutely needs change in this regard, but we need strong representation for the Milford electoral area to ensure that social houses are delivered. That's not good enough to say it hasn't been done for 12, 13 years. We need it now.
It's going to be a very interesting election because, you know, nine strong, interesting candidates competing for three seats. It's going to be a right. It's going to be a right battle. Okay, we'll hear more from the seven who are available to us today after we take this break. Stay right where you are. For new perspectives and a fresh vision, join me, Greg Hughes, on the 9 till noon show every Thursday at 10:15 for your voice, your community. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. For the next 10 days, the last 2 hours, we'll be focusing on the local elections. I'll be honest with you, if I were an undecided voter, I think this conversation today has been quite useful. We have Liam Blaney, Pat McGarvey, Maria Doherty, Declan Meehan, Vincent Bradley, Kathleen Deaney, and Eamon Jackson. A few people texting in wondering if any of you believe that... given the amount of people living in the electoral area that are from outside the area, i.e. Ukrainians, IPAS, that are entitled to vote, will vote, and will that in any way have any impact on the election? Liam?
Well, once they're on this country and they have a PPS, well,
they
number,
can do, yeah, but do you think it will impact the outcome of this election?
Yeah, I think it will impact the outcome of the election. Some of the electoral areas where you have maybe some of the candidates would be be able to persuade a lot more of them where they'll be closely involved with
them. Do you think it will have an impact in Milford?
Yeah, I do believe it will have an impact in Milford.
Okay.
There's some of the candidates in Milford as well who would be fairly closely, fairly close with a lot of the Ukrainians.
Have we any indication as to, or can we find out
this
sort
of why the government has taken all the people in? This should not be happening.
Mm.
People died for this country. People come here in temporary protection and for a few days changing our dynamics and our political
system. Just in relation to that, Vincent.
Why is this allowed to happen?
Do you think if this was a part of Vincent.
Yeah.
If you thought this was part of a government's plan designed to import voters, why do you think they've so drastically cut the payments to so many Ukrainians in the mouth of an election? Would that not be counterintuitive
because
to that
Because the pressure
plan?
Was coming on, the people were pushed, the pushback was coming on, the government had to do something in the short term, but the numbers are in. The numbers are in. So this is all long-term plan.
But do you not think maybe if you were a Ukrainian, you'd just had your payments cut by 230
euros?
Well,
that just proved as well that most of them are economic migrants coming into the country. They've proved 2 points.
Okay. That's your view, of course. Porrig, as a sitting councillor, do you think that cohort that can vote will vote, and do you think it'll impact the election?
That will indeed impact the election. That's very much, there's candidates, as Liam said, there is candidates that are closer to Ukrainians, and I think we don't have control on that, but they have their vote and there's nothing we can do about
Declan.
It.
Declan?
Look, I think that when people are living in an area, it's right that they should have a vote in a local election.
Because you're only in temper. You don't tell the people of the country what to do, Declan.
Just one second. Vincent, I really want to hear what you've got to say, right? But every time Declan speaks, you speak over him. So if you can have your point, come back to it, but I just want to hear what Declan has to say as well, please.
What I would like to say is that we're not just talking about Ukrainians here when we talk about non-Irish people being able to vote. We're talking about people from across the European Union who are resident here. We're talking about immigrant workers from India, from across the world that we are completely and utterly dependent on for various sections of our industry.
Exporting all our children out of the country.
I was speaking to, don't be trying to say we're dependent on the rest of the world.
We're not.
We'll come back to that in a second.
I was chatting to a number
of nurses.
Are you
in the same area, by the way? Are you?
Yeah, it seems to be in worlds apart, but in the same area.
We're not worlds apart. We're living in a reality. You're living in an illusion. You're destroying the part and destroying the country.
I was talking to four women who are working in a nursing home in Milford who are Indian, and they weren't aware that they were able to vote. Mm-hmm. So it's that sort of thing. They've been living here for years. They're contributing to the economy. Absolutely well and right that they should be able to vote on local issues. And they were raising issues about facilities and services that they would like to see, the same as anyone else would.
Yeah, so and the question, but I mean, if people want to take the question as is, it's not really whether they should or shouldn't be able to vote, because this is nothing new. This has been for a long time. I'm just curious if you...
20 years.
I'm just curious if you think it will have an impact on the election.
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure it may do. But if people are entitled to vote, if people are entitled to vote, and they're now part of our communities, you know, and we need to take this on board in terms of we have new communities here. Yeah. As Declan said, we have our health service totally and utterly dependent
because we're exporting all our nurses out of the country, our own children.
The nurses and doctors that are here, hospitality service. And what you want is that you want them to be empowered and they want them to feel that they have a part in their local democracy and decisions that are making. So I think it's incumbent all of us to convince them, you know, our new communities to vote for each of us, and that we stand on our own platform. I don't think we should take anything for granted.
I mean, I know in terms of particularly in the Buncrana area, ahead of the People's Document meeting, there was a group of Ukrainians, Eamon, came together to fundraise for the campaign. As I say, I mean, I think Vincent might be of the view they shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's not really the question, but I don't mind the answer to it from Vincent. But Eamon, do you think that that population will have a bearing on the outcome of the election?
I do believe they'll have a bearing. It is a local election. A very small number of them will have a sway between nine candidates. I think the generosity of the Ukrainian people on that evening was just incredible, because to think that people who come in from another country could see what the people of Donegal were going through better than what our government could see the people of Donegal were going through is just bizarre. And, from my own point of view, a person with a crumbling home, do I see myself as a charity? No, I've never been a charity, But to have our guests, the people who've come to our country, give us money, that just shows the generosity and the decency of the people who are actually coming into our community. And, you know, yes, should they have the right to vote? They should have the right to vote. But in essence, they should be informed, and, you know, they should have the ability to know who all the candidates are. And I hope they're listening today to realise that there are some good candidates in the area.
Yeah, OK. Kathleen Deaney of AIM2, they can vote. Do you agree with them being able to vote?
Yeah, well, I think it's a human right and respect to be able to vote. And when they're living and they're eligible to vote, of course they should, you know, be right to vote. You know, when you come into a community, it's very strange to you. It's a different culture, you know. So there's a lot of, you know, like the community needs to work with the person coming, and, you know, it's a two-way system, Greg, really.
Because AIM2 is standing quite a number of candidates from outside Ireland, and in fairness, some would say it's a brave decision, because I did note that some of the AIM2 support base kind of pushed back a little bit on some of Padder's or the party's decisions down the country now, not in Donegal.
Well, I only can speak for Donegal.
That's good. Okay. All right. We'll stay on
and
topic.
And you know, what's around locally. Yeah, I think that, you know, that they definitely should have a vote. And from what I see around locally, you know, that they are integrating quite well. They are, you know, it's a two-way system.
Sure. Like, replacement system, that's what's going on.
Well,
that's what's going on.
Vincent, do you know the population of foreign nationals in Ireland, percentage-wise, of the country?
Well, are we getting a real true
So the figures could be banjaxed as well.
They're telling us lies all the time. So what is the truth? They're coming in every day from Dublin, flying, crossing in over the border. Sure, nobody knows.
Mm.
No passports.
What is it? Go ahead, please, Kathleen.
The people that are here, but the amount that's coming in should really be more controlled they are coming from a country that is.
The world is not our problems. We've got enough problems here looking after ourselves.
What do we do then? What do we do then, Vincent, with all of...
We have all opt-out clauses under Lisbon. Stop everything.
But in terms of then all the Irish and American, Canada and Australia...
If they're there
Dubai,
illegally, they shouldn't be there.
So you would
have no problem with that there. If you're in any country illegally, out. Back home.
Okay, but you know the ones that are here aren't here illegally. You know that, don't you?
There's a lot of them here under temporary protection. They're coming in every day and night this last couple of years. And nobody knows how many people are.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are all served with deportation orders.
Well, not most.
A lot, 90%+, self-deported.
No, those figures aren't accurate, but I take your point. That is a significant figure, it's just not 90. Pádraig McGarvey?
Sorry, Greg. I just wanted to say that they all shouldn't be tired with one brush. There is a lot of them that are contributing to our communities. There are a lot of them involved in sports clubs, and they are looking for jobs. I have people approaching me looking for work that's living in centres around the Remelton area, and... the only thing is, some of them would be, their English would hold them back, and that is a serious problem. But I think that they can't all be tired with the one brush, and they have to be made feel welcome as well, some of them.
Well, it's clear to be seen that all the candidates in here are trying to mop up that vote. They're sucking that vote. These are all after that vote. They should not be allowed to vote in here.
Well, it's very clear you're not trying to mop up that
vote. No, I'm not.
So that's fine.
So,
Liam, did I ask you that question?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But this was changed in 2004, 20 years ago. Whether it's even constitutional or not, it's hard to know. Through the NGO system.
Liam, is your party actively encouraging people to come into Ireland to skew the outcome of an election? I'll just ask the question straight out.
Foyles is that they're no longer interested in the sovereignty of this country. Right. You don't even care about the country.
Just Liam,
please don't.
No, I don't believe that they're trying to take people on to influence this election or any other election either. But I do believe that, and I called for it a year and a half ago, whenever I was chair of Donegal County Council, publicly, that at that stage I felt there should have been a suspension.
Which was controversial at the time.
And nobody else was calling for it at that time. But I said that Donegal had enough at that stage. It was time everybody else took on their own fair share. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. It made a stall for a wee while, but it went back again to what it was like. And I do think that there's still counties in this country that are taking on far more than others for reasons as already explained here. Probably that there's more places being made available to them, but. I do think that it's about time that we did stand up for ourselves. And I think there's going to be big changes when we see the funding cut from €232 to €38
Well, that's
per week.
I think we'll
see big changes now when that happens in a few months' time.
Okay. Park.
Yeah, no, just on Liam's point there about the money being cut, I would fear that when the money is cut that we will see a rise in crime. Maybe not, but it would be a fear of mine that we would see a rise in crime.
I think a lot of people having the money cuts are older people and single parents.
But we will see the genuine people who are here for a reason stay, and maybe others that are here too.
Does anyone feel they haven't got a fair crack of the whip just at this point? I've tried as best can to ground everyone. Kathleen, I'm looking at you.
You're more than generous.
Are you happy enough? Eamon, you're happy enough? You got your points across, did you?
Absolutely.
Okay, Maria, the same. Okay, and Vincent?
Well, the people of this country has not been looked after. Those are the ones that's not.
Yeah, well, at least
across.
We invited you on to talk about it, which I think is a step in the right direction. Thank you so very much indeed. I really do appreciate it. The only thing, I think the key thing is that it's important everyone, we all agree, everyone gets out and vote. We don't win a low turnout, do we? I mean, if you fancy Declan or Maria or Kathleen or whomever it is, and you can't sit at home and wish them in. You know, you have to get out and vote, and Porrig and Vincent and everybody. Yeah.
Can I just come out just in terms of that? Today's
unless you're
last
actually about to drop a bomb on one
no,
of these
no, no.
guys.
Today's the last day to register, so up to 4 o'clock today. So check the register.ie. Just
so
in terms of
pushing for the non-nationals to go out and register, try and vote for them.
Pushing for everybody to register.
That's what you're doing.
I want
that's
everybody
doing.
To
everybody
register.
Okay, right.
Everybody
so we can pull them
register.
Down. Thanks very much indeed. Liam Blaney, Fianna Fáil, Pádraig McGarvey, Independent, Maria Doherty, Sinn Féin, Declan Meehan, Independent, Vincent Bradley, Independent, Aaron Sweeney is standing for Fine Gael, Kathleen Deeney for Aintu, Eamon Jackson for the 100% Redress Party, and John O'Donnell, Independent. Both John O'Donnell and Aaron Sweeney were otherwise unavailable to join us. Okay, listen, thank you so very much for a very interesting and lively debate. Stay with us.